Hello and welcome to another episode of The Grey NATO, brought to you by Hodinkee, a loose discussion of travel, diving, driving, gear, and most certainly watches. This is episode 70, and we thank you so much for listening. We are recording from a small apartment here in the West Village, New York City. James and I are both in town here for the Hodinkee 10th anniversary weekend.
Yeah, it's been a thing. There's been multiple panels every day, and you know these events at night. We've met a ton of really great people, lots of fans of the show, which is so nice for people to come out and kind of support Hodinkee at large, and certainly Jason and I at some scope with this sort of thing. We had an amazing meetup at the Half Pint, so to everyone who came to that, I don't know what to say other than like the thank you.
Incredible.
It was such a great time.
I didn't do a head count, but we had a really good turnout. We packed that little back room there.
Yeah.
It was really special to meet that many TGN listeners at one time. I mean, I don't think we've really, you know, I've had sort of anecdotal feedback about the show, and then you bump into people here and there, but to have that kind of gathering in one place was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I would agree. I had a blast. I thought the bar was perfect. It was, you know, really close to where we were already here for, you know, the Hodinkee 10 stuff. And yeah, it was just really nice to meet people and get a chance to do that. And I think it's kind of case study in the fact that we could do something like that in other cities too. We gave some heads up for this. You know, it was mentioned on the last show, and obviously for anyone who wasn't able to make it, we'll try and make one the next time we're in the same place,
right?
At the same time. But yeah, it's kind of fun to get to do a face-to-face episode. It's been almost a year.
When would it have been?
The Oris thing last December.
Yeah,
like
right.
Almost a year.
Oh, December. Yeah, right.
Almost a year dead on. Like today.
Yeah, you're right.
Today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, this is fun, and episode 70.
Yeah, and if our voices sound a little more baritone, it's you know, we've been shouting over large rooms of people.
My throat is shot. I just drank. I just ate some honey. I don't know. I don't know if that works or not, but that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, H10. We're 2 days into the 3 day event here, and there've been some really cool panels. What surprised me is there've been some panel discussions that I watched that I didn't think would interest me, but they, you know, I'm not kind of into the collecting or auction scene, but like Orel Box was really
fascinating.
I could listen to the guy read the phone book and be interested. And
we'll put a link in the show notes, which of course are both in the app on your phone or at Hodinkee. There'll be a post for episode 70 with the show notes, but we'll put a link to those live streams as soon as they're available, because you can watch them anywhere. We recorded all of them. And his is definitely worth watching. The guy's fascinating. He speaks really well. He's funny.
Yeah.
I thought he did, I mean, the panels have been incredible, and I'm just happy that we're making them available online. Like,
yeah.
You'll be able to watch them later. But I thought it was really, I thought it was really interesting, the kind of insight that he had, and also, like, just the level to which he clearly loves watches and the whole game. He's into the whole mix of it, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and he's such an affable sort of European gentleman, you know. Mm-hmm. Just he has good stories, and he tells them well. And then, of course, you and I were part of a panel on the first day, very early on in H10, and that was really fun to sit in with Rolf Studer from Oris and Reza Rashidian, who's a big shot to
insane,
collector,
super
incredible,
collector, and just the sweetest guy.
Collection of
We had a really good time. It was a killer. You know, I got to run the panel, so I only had to kind of keep everybody talking.
Yeah,
but between yourself and Rolf and Reza, I thought it was great. You know, it was about dive watches. We had different perspectives.
Yeah,
Again, it'll be streamable. If you know, if we can pull the audio maybe and put it as another episode of TGN, as like a surprise episode or something, maybe we'll do that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought those went really well. I was also pretty happy to have my panel done day one,
Yeah.
So now we're going to record this and then head back to the space. And then this afternoon, you and I will, you know, hide in the background of the editor's panel.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be good. And that's the one that closes the event. And you head back literally this afternoon.
Yeah, I've got a car coming right to the event. So I'll be flying home this evening. You know, it was so fun to kind of just wander the hall there, the venue.
It's
at H10.
A great space,
you know, the old Lamborghini there and just some great watches around. And the funny thing is, I mean, you know, you think at an event like this, you're always looking at people's wrists, but I just found I was just talking to people, just chatting about people or with people rather. And the questions that come up and just kind of the you know, the usual thing, very indicative of the time in which we live, where everybody sort of They introduce themselves and you get this blank look, and then they're like, oh, I'm so-and-so from Instagram. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
you
know,
like
yeah.
Jonathan Hughes, who goes by JJ Hughes 69, I think, or 1969 on Instagram, you know, a big sort of British collector of CWCs and Omegas. I met with him, and of course, Jason Lim from Helios, and, and Jason Gallup from Roldorf.
Yep.
And, you know, Enrique from Mushant was
there. Yeah, we got a bunch of buddies. She rocked up. It's great.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks to Enrique for bringing over the cronuts and the pizza.
Yeah, and cronuts and pizza. I mean, Enrique's keeping you fed for sure.
Yeah. So.
He's a maniac.
Yeah, it was good. And, you know, speaking of Helios, I guess, I'm looking across here at you, and you've got the new Seaforth Roldorf edition. So we're going to kind of kick off the show here, as we have been doing lately, with kind of what we're wearing these days. And that's probably the one you're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I came out here with the Explorer.
Yeah.
And then, I you know, when the guys from Roldorf and Jason rocked up, they had one of these for me. And it's a, so this is the, it's the C4, the Helios Roldorf edition.
Yeah.
So it's a special kind of custom, super limited version of the C4. Mine is a black DLC case with the kind of metallic green upper dial, and then the center dial is cream.
Yeah.
And in most light, it just kind of looks like black on sort of a cream color, like a tuxedo dial.
Right.
But as soon as you turn it, and I'm wearing it on like a green leather strap today, which I had it on a NATO yesterday because we were doing the NATO thing.
Yeah.
I've got it on this green leather strap from the Hodinkee shop, and I think it's killer. I think it's really pretty. It's time only. It, you know, it's the same size. You have a you know, fixed bezel, C4.
Yeah.
So you're used to it. And I think for me, it almost has like a vaguely dressy sort of everyday charm to it that I'm really liking.
It actually does not look like my C4 at all. I mean, it's a totally different watch. Same case, of course. But
really minimal text. Doesn't say Helios on it.
That black case with that green outer ring on the dial. Mm-hmm. Just it. It sort of shrinks the watch, but it also just it just gives it a very almost vintagey sort of dressy look, like you said, I'm seeing it for the first time on that strap, and it looks really cool.
It's a beautiful piece of design, and I'm really obsessed with the color. You know, we'd had that meetup yesterday, and I kept taking the flashlight out, showing a flashlight, and like showing people the color, because it's darker than a British racing green.
Yeah.
It's somewhere closer to like Porsche's Irish green, or maybe even oak green.
Yeah.
And it's super metallic.
Yeah.
It's really beautifully done. And then all of the, everything that you see here, aside from like the center cream circle, is Loom.
Yeah.
So it also glows really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really.
Was that green inspired? Did I hear it correctly that it was inspired by Jason Gallup's Land Rover?
It may have been. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's definitely like Gallup had a hand, obviously, in the design.
Yeah.
And with this custom dial, it doesn't feel like a C4.
No.
But I absolutely love it. I'll link to some photos, some Instagram or something like that of it. And
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
And how about you? What's on wrist?
Well, I only brought one watch this trip, and it's always this big dilemma about, do you bring more than one, or do you, and which one to bring to an event like this? And I wore this old Tiggraph, the Shark Hunter, that I've been wearing probably most of all year since I got it back in the summer. And I put it on the big Bund strap. So, it's fun to see people's reactions, at an event like this. Like, everybody, you know, eventually like says, what are you wearing? And I pull it out, and there's like people that look at it and say, you know, oh, that's so cool. Or, you know, can I see it? Can you take it off? Can you show it to me? And then other people are like, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, Doxa has that sort of polarizing thing, and some people just don't quite know what it is, but,
I think on the Bund, I don't like Bunds at all, like as a personal choice, but on your wrist, that looks killer.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think it's they say it with some frequency on Spike's car radio.
Yeah.
That like you understand your watch when you see it on somebody else's wrist.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, I think that watch, like, I don't know if I would wear it like that. I don't think it would make sense on my wrist, but I think it looks really good on your wrist, and it's very much like it has that. That's leaning so hard into the 70s
to have it on the
Bund.
Right.
So,
And
the Bund, the quality of the Bund's really impressive.
Yeah, so that's from my friend Nick up in St. Paul, who does a lot of the straps for Hodinkee, of course, and a lot of other places. And so he was kind enough to sell me one of these. And it's a lot of fun. So aside from the Doxa, I've been wearing a different watch quite a bit back at home. I got it last week to kind of just check out. It's from a Swedish brand called Tuseno, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. When I saw the watch, looks great though. I saw it on your Instagram.
Tassano Blackwater, it's called. And it's a limited edition piece, 300 pieces individually numbered. And he's, Johan, the guy who runs the company, he's contributing a good portion of the proceeds to the Swedish Sea Rescue Society, which is kind of like a civilian sort of Coast Guard over in Sweden. He's based in Göteborg or Gothenburg, where, you know, Volvo is based and Poseidon mm-hmm. and things like that. But it's a really cool watch. It's it has a bit of Black Bay or sort of vintage Submariner look to it, but with yeah. a kind of real glossy dial, glossy bezel with the red zero mark, and sort of the Submariner vibe. But then it has an interesting handset. So the hour hand has round cutout section that when it sweeps around, it sort of overlays the little cross, the Sea Rescue cross on the dial, which is kind of a neat little trick. What I think the sort of centerpiece of this watch is the bracelet. You know, if you're a fan of the old GST IWCs with that integrated bracelet, whether it's an Ingenieur or some of the old Aqua Timers from the 90s, this totally has that vibe going on. So it's sort of like Tudor Rolex kind of dial and case vibe that integrates well into this tapering integrated steel bracelet that must have been quite an accomplishment for a very small brand to pull off.
I would assume, yeah.
You know, certainly the downfall of this is that I don't know that there are any aftermarket straps that you could wear with this watch, but if you're kind of a bracelet person and you mm-hmm. like that very sleek sort of engineered look,
yeah.
It's a cool watch, and it's got a Salida automatic in it. Made in Switzerland, you know, obviously designed in Sweden by yeah. Tassano. Domed crystal, super Luminova. It's a really fun, cool watch.
And what's sort of the price point for that? Is it out yet?
It's I think it's on pre-order now, okay. And they're taking I think it said in the equivalent it's in Swedish kroner, but the equivalent.
Yeah, I have no idea what the exchange rate is on a kroner. Okay.
The equivalent U.S. dollars comes to about I think you pay $500 down, and then the other $500 when you get it. So roughly
something like
it's a little less than $1,000, I think.
Okay.
So good price for the watch, and
it's funny, you know, I'm not a bracelet guy. Typically, I found some luck with a few random bracelets where
yeah.
they're charming enough that I like the way they look more than they wear.
Yeah.
But integrated bracelets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are like an absolute sweet spot. That's where you don't make a compromise to have a case that can also go with a strap.
Right.
So like something like a Royal Oak, I put on that solid gold. There's a solid gold Royal Oak. I'm obsessed with these watches.
Yeah.
But there was one at the shop during H10.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I put it on and walked around with it the other day because I really love that watch. It's just an insane thing to have exist.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I like the sort of like incongruous element of the fact that that watch was designed to be steel.
Yeah, right.
By the person
right.
who designed it, and now
yeah.
in gold, it's somehow more fun because
yeah.
it's more.
Yeah.
It's like it's less purposeful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. yeah.
But that sort of a watch like that, whether it's a Royal Oak or even something like a Nautilus, or then you get into things like this that have that fully integrated bracelet. The new Autodromo Group B
yeah.
has an integrated bracelet.
Yeah.
So comfortable that
yeah.
you can literally make the shape of the case best fit for the bracelet, so you don't have any weird shoulders or
right.
or areas where they don't work. And I mean, if you like a bracelet, if you want to have that metal on that much metal on your wrist, I think it integrated is like a really solid way to go.
And it's really bold. It's a bold commitment for a brand to do this kind of design, especially a micro brand where
yep.
you know, you have to get all this stuff custom made for, you know, what I mean, he's only making 300. I mean, maybe he'll make a non-limited edition at some point.
Yeah.
But this watch, if it didn't have this bracelet, it would be far less interesting because the dial is kind of a derivative sort of Submariner style dial. I mean, the handset is unique, but
it's a dive dial.
The addition of that bracelet just really, really kicks it up. So,
really
yeah, cool piece. So, thanks to Tassano for sending that over to have me check out, and we'll put a link in the show notes and a photo or two here and there on
yeah,
Instagram
for sure.
and on the post. So, yeah. Maybe we should
jump right into
kind of our main topic today, which is our annual, or what's become our annual.
Yeah, I feel
I think.
Like we've definitely done this a few times before where we
yeah.
try and recommend something like a holiday buying guide.
Yeah.
This year we're trying to keep it faster and more simple. I think we learned
yeah.
a little bit. People seem to like the speed at which we went through the film
yeah. Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So we're each picking, I think it's 4 or 5 things. The majority of these will be under $100, which is important to us.
Yeah.
Because so now if you have a relative that's asking that they'd like to buy you a gift or your significant other is asking for some ideas, here's a few. And they range from a few bucks all the way up. So yeah, Jason, if you want to go first, throw one out.
Sure. So this one kind of was something I bought in 2018 out of necessity, actually. It was a watch demagnetizer. And a lot of watch nerds, you know, probably listeners have one of these around. But if not, it's a really cool tool because, as most of us know, the most common issue that happens with mechanical watches is they get magnetized.
I mean, absolutely.
You set it next to your phone or on a speaker or near your television or computer. They get zapped and the hairspring spiral ends up sticking together. The watch runs fast, like minutes fast a day. And a demagnetizer is just an easy way to do this. I mean, you can certainly take it to any sort of retailer and have them do it. But I bought this one for $68 on Amazon. You just kind of turn it on, plug it in, turn it on, and hold the watch inside of it for a few seconds. And
oh, okay, it's one of the, it's like a loop, like
yes,
a donut?
Yes.
Like a little MRI for your
exactly,
watch?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. So
I have one that's like a blue brick.
Yeah.
It was $4 or $5 on eBay many years ago.
Wow.
But it has like a red button. You plug it into the wall, which is the scary part. Like it's a certain amount. There's a certain amount of current going through $4
right.
item.
Right. Yeah.
But you plug it into the wall, and the idea is you actually don't want the watch to touch the demagnetizer at all. So the idea is you kind of have the watch near it.
Oh.
Turn it on and then pull it away from the watch.
Okay.
There's like a technique. You have to watch some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But I have actually used it on several watches because sometimes I'll take like a Rangeman.
Mm-hmm.
Something with a compass,
yeah,
and put a watch next to it, and you can watch compass go kind of off, off kilter, and you, so there's carrying some sort of magnetism, and
right.
you can quickly demag a few watches with that,
yeah,
and it's fairly straightforward. I know like the ones like the I've seen the ones that are like the MRI machine, and then they have ones where you actually put the watch on the unit itself, and it starts a little process where it brings like a motor or something that brings the demag close to the watch and then away.
Oh, I see. Sure.
So.
So, you know, sounds like you got one for $4. This one was 68, and I've used it one or two times this year, but it's nice to have around because stuff like this happens. So anyway, check it out.
If you don't have to do any like waving it around, maybe the $68 is better spent.
Right.
I'm sure by the time I got the one from eBay, it was $15 with the shipping and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So my first one is actually really straightforward. I'm trying to stick with things that I use almost year round.
Yeah.
Like things that if I lost, I would buy again immediately. I think that makes a pretty solid gift.
Yeah.
So I would start with the Fjällräven tote bag.
Yeah.
I spoke about it when I first got it. I probably brought it up a couple times since. I mean, the thing has now been literally all over the world with me.
Yeah.
This is called the tote bag number one, and they make them a little bit smaller and a little bit bigger. And I think the little bit bigger is the one to have. It's about $100 US.
Oh, yeah.
But this one, the tote bag one, it'll hold a 15-inch MacBook,
mm-hmm.
so you can zip it shut. I mean, there's no padding, so you still have to be like mindful of what you're doing with the bag.
Yeah.
It's not a laptop bag.
Yeah.
It's just a bag. It's like it's a few pieces of their G1000 material and a zipper across the top.
Yeah.
But I really like it because it'll hold a MacBook. I can get two camera bodies in it, like small camera bodies, a film camera and a 6500, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can get a little bag of like batteries and wires, like a little tech bag.
Yeah.
And then it has a zippered pocket on the inside and a big zippered pocket on the outside. So there's some way you can kind of divide up your life in there.
Yeah.
I love that you can basically go from like there's two leather holds you can use, which is how I also will like connect it to my roller suitcase.
Sure. Yeah.
And that works really well. And then there's two longer handles that make it like a legitimate tote that you can put on your shoulder.
Yeah.
But one of those handles is channeled.
Yeah.
And you can pull it down and it turns into backpack straps.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So you can have like kind of like a normal handbag or backpack or a tote.
Yeah.
And with all of those things, it also gives you a couple ways to like loop the handles around something if you want it to stay on top of a suitcase or something like that.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore this. It's really well made. It comes in like 20 plus colors. The bigger one has a leather bottom.
Oh, sure.
For setting it down on the street, which would have been very smart because this one's just dirty.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Right.
I don't really mind.
Yeah.
I have it in navy blue. I think I may get the bigger one in like a tan color would be pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So when I travel, I still use like that Tenba bag for all my gear and the laptop and everything.
Yeah.
And then this goes in my suitcase as it's thinner than a t-shirt.
You kind of
press it down.
Right.
So that way I have a bag for carrying things around that isn't this big tech tote or tech like messenger bag.
Or if you're traveling on a trip where you're going to do some shopping and you want to bring some stuff back, it's that extra bag.
Or like, you know, you go somewhere, I'll go on a trip. Like I'll go like for this H10, I have multiple cameras, a laptop, all sorts of gear.
Yeah.
But I only want what I want for the day.
Right.
And this
becomes
your kind of bag for moving around.
And I think the G1000 material, now that I've seen it in person this week, it's a little more, I don't say masculine, I guess, for a tote. Because I've had totes and I haven't quite been that thrilled with the look, but this has a kind of a, This one kind of has a bit of a tactical look to it that I like.
And I have, I now have like pants in this material, and I just bought a like a full winter jacket.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the G1000, they're green. I'm kind of like loving the brand at this point.
Yeah, right.
But the G1000 seems like really good material. You can wax it.
Yeah.
So it can be super water resistant if you want to. It seems to hold up really well. I mean, this bag, I like at $100, like it doesn't cost enough that I'm ever going to baby it.
Right.
I'll treat it like I would treat a Filson. It's well made. It should last a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my first pick is absolutely pick up one of these bags just because. Pure flexibility, and if you do actually travel with it,
yeah,
it doesn't take up that much space under a seat in front of you, so there's still room for your feet.
Sure, yeah, good one. My second one is it's a subscription to Field Notes. So Field Notes is a Chicago company founded in part by a guy named Aaron Draplin, who was a kind of a graphic design guy who took inspiration for these little portable paper notebooks. They're pretty humble product. But you know, he's kind of a Midwestern guy, and he, I guess in the old days, back in the early to mid part of the 20th century, the farmers, when they would go to get their, you know, their order their seeds for the year, they would get these little notebooks as gifts from the seed companies. And he really liked the look of these seed books because they always came with some sort of interesting information, like calendar, temperature charts, wind chill charts, you know, I don't know what it would be, average temperatures over the course of the year, kind of on the inside covers of these little pocket notebooks. And so he wanted to kind of recreate that look and feel for kind of the average person. And so he came up with Field Notes. And, you know, like I said, it's a pretty humble product, but they're just the right size, kind of little paper notebooks with like a grid pattern on the pages, fitting in like a chest pocket of a shirt or jacket, which is nice. Not a big kind of, you know, the Moleskines are nice, but they're kind of big and heavy and a bit of a commitment to carry around. What's kind of cool about Field Notes is every year they do kind of these special editions where you buy like a 3-pack, and then they come with I bought one in the middle of the year here. It was kind of the NASA edition.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, it was
So they kind of do these, I think, 3 or 4 times a year. And if you buy the subscription for $97 a year, you get all 4 of these annual kind of special editions that come with little freebie. You know, one of them came with like this cardboard models of the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo capsules, and kind of a lot of cool information. So this is definitely in the line of a non-essential. Well, it could be essential, I guess, if you're someone who takes a lot of notes, but kind of a neat gift. I think it's kind of one of those stocking stuffer things for kind of a guy who likes old school, like writing stuff.
I find that I wish I was a notebook guy.
Yeah.
I just can't get in. Like, I have notebooks that, like, I'll walk into this. There's a Vancouver pen store, and I saw this brand. I'll have to find out what the brand is, but I saw this brand, and it was said, like, the finest paper in the world. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to buy $6.
Yeah, right.
Am I buying the finest of something in the world for $6?
Yeah.
I said, no. Right. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And I got it, and, like, it's great, and it works amazing with a fountain pen, but, like, I just, like, I'm so attached to my phone and to Google Keep.
Right.
I carry that Papa travel wallet from our guy Robert, who was at the meetup last night.
Oh, yeah.
1,000-yard style. So I have one of these wallets, and the Field Note and the Moleskine are too tall for that wallet. Like, it's very much designed around passport.
Yeah.
But I guess Muji makes a block of paper that's just the right size for it that will tuck in behind the passport. So maybe that's how I'll start. Because I carry a pen in that, because when you have to fill out like a customs card.
So stocking stuffer, easy one. You know, well, I won't say more about it, but it's a cool one.
So my next one is one that, you know, connects with something I talked about a few episodes ago, and it's to chill on the camera you already have and just find a weird old lens and an adapter.
Oh, yeah.
Just something to... I'm going to say... I think the safe money would say that the adapter on Amazon is going to cost you about $25 to go from one type of lens to whatever body you already own.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, just go online, go on eBay, go on Craigslist. I've had great luck on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And buy some manual fast lens. Find something between f2 and f3, 50 mil, whatever. And just breathe some life into your creative photography by trying a much more manual attempt.
Yeah.
And, you know, buy an old Asahi Pentax, buy an old Helios, buy an old whatever.
Yeah.
Buy some FD glass and put it on a EOS body, or buy some Nikon glass and put it on. Yeah. I mean, you don't need an adapter.
Yeah, right.
For the Nikon stuff, they didn't change the mount until your new one.
Right, right.
I think it's hard to, like I said, kind of breathe some inspiration back into your photography without occasionally playing with the act of photography, which means new gear often.
Yeah.
And I think that new gear is very expensive and doesn't necessarily make you a better photographer most of the time.
Right.
But I do think like, for $50 maybe or $60 or $70, definitely under $100, you get into a lens and an adapter.
Yeah.
You could have some really fun.
Yeah.
And like, don't go shoot a client's, don't go shoot work with it, but like, shoot your family or shoot some flowers or do some Christmas photos, like to take pictures of the ornaments on your tree. Like, just have some fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's absolutely what I would do. And it, you know, I've given away a couple lenses and adapters as gifts this year. So
I think it's fun, too, with old lenses to... It's a really tactical experience where the new lenses don't have that because everything's motorized and kind of driven through the camera. And with the old lenses, when you have an aperture ring that you actually have to turn and click in all the positions to open and close the aperture, it just gives you that tactical feel like winding a watch or turning the bezel on a dive watch or something. And then also the focusing is the same.
It's always heavy.
And the lenses are, you know, they have these metal bodies that, you know, a lot of new lenses are plastic bodies and they feel good and you know, for the price, like what you're talking about here, it's like you get a lot for that amount of money. Really well made stuff.
For sure. What do you got next?
My next one comes from a brand I've talked about before. It's kind of one of my favorite clothing brands, Alps and Meters. Most of their stuff's pretty high end, pretty expensive, ski pants and sweaters and things like that. But they make kind of a nice stocking cap that I like, but they also have this really kind of handy, they call it the winter collar, the Alpine winter collar, and it's a lamb's wool, just sort of a gaiter that you'd wear on your neck.
It's like their spin on a buff or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But it's, you know, but it's pretty luxurious and it's nicely woven, and it kind of comes down to sort of a chevron in the front, so it kind of fits into the front of your jacket, or you can kind of leave it out and kind of bunches up around your neck. So if you're someone who, you know, maybe you're not a scarf person, but you need. You want to tuck something in for when the wind picks up and you want to put that on. This works out really well. Or, you know, I guess their inspiration was these sorts of things were used, you know, back in the mid 20th century for skiing as a way to kind of keep the wind off your neck. And so I find it just, it's small and it's $75. So, you know, it's a nice kind of little bit of luxury that you can kind of take with you. Fits nicely in a bag. You know, if you're traveling to a colder place and maybe you don't want to take a big long scarf.
Yeah,
or you're just not a scarf person. Check it out. It's a nice kind of luxury piece. I think it would make it feels like, at least for people in the Northern Hemisphere, or wintry climates, a nice gift.
For sure, I like that idea.
Yeah,
and yeah. So my next one is I can actually go right alongside that, and it's some sort of a packable puffy jacket.
Mm.
So like not a super puffy, like nothing really insane, not 800 fill, but like. You and I love the Nanopuff stuff, which is the synthetic line from Patagonia.
Yeah.
I live in mine.
Yeah.
You can wash them pretty easily. They're easy to take care of. They're nicely made. They're typically like, I bet you I paid almost $250 for mine.
Yeah.
But if you can go on there on Patagonia's website, and we're talking now US dollars, I mean, I was talking Canadian there, but and buy an off color.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're going to be around $100, and if that doesn't work, Eddie Bauer makes a fantastic one, the Ignite Light, which you can do a hood or without. And I actually think it might be thinner overall than the Patagonia, so it puffs. Huh. It's a little bit smaller when it packs into its pocket.
Yeah,
and if you don't even want to spend that much, if you want to come in, I think at like under $50, Uniqlo sells a whole line of puffy style.
Yeah.
Vests and jackets and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be like well made. It's not going to be a Patagonia or an Eddie Bauer. It just isn't.
Yeah.
It won't have the warranty that a Patagonia or an Eddie Bauer has, which I think is kind of important when you come to zippers on a jacket that you really love, that sort of thing.
Right.
And like Patagonia will repair anything.
Yeah.
I like that a lot too. But you also can drastically cut down the price. And my brother bought a puffy that packs into its own pocket from Uniqlo. And I want to say it was like, maybe 40 Canadian. So we might be talking 30 ish dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that it was synthetic. It was probably some sort of a down.
Yeah.
I like the synthetic because you don't have to be worried about where they got the feathers, that sort of thing, which like matters.
Yeah.
It's very important to Patagonia. And obviously Eddie Bauer, despite being the fact that they're always selling everything 40% off, they make some really cutting edge stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the company doesn't do that well that often.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, whether it's Patagonia or Eddie Bauer or something else, a packable down or synthetic down jacket is never not handy.
Yeah,
short of the tropics.
Yeah, even the tropics. I mean, when I go to the tropics, like it's usually a long flight and a very cold airplane.
Yeah,
And
worst case, you have a pillow.
And it's a good pillow, and it's also something that when you get there, you stuff in the bottom of your bag and you don't look at until you get back on the flight to go home again when you're all sunburned and like acclimated to the heat and it's cold in the plane. And then there isn't this weight penalty or space nice penalty blanket in your bag. Yeah.
If you don't put them on. The other thing I really like about the Patagonia one, I mean, would work for any of them, is in that tote bag, I'll cram it into the bottom and then not use a camera insert.
Yes, yeah.
I'll just put
it's
my cameras
padding.
Right on the padding so that there's a little bit. If I drop the bag quickly, someone kicks it as they walk by, there's a little bit of padding there. Which I like.
Super
I do the
versatile.
Same thing with like a $10 Chemag. I'll put it at the bottom of the bag just as some bottom padding.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, I think you can get a bunch of use out of them. They kind of look good everywhere. Like,
yeah,
if you're listening to Grainado, it's in the realm of probably how you would dress on the weekend or maybe every day. Like,
I saw a few at the get-together yesterday.
Absolutely, yeah. And I like them because you can have a lighter jacket and treat all of your kind of winter wear, maybe not in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But you know, you can treat it at like more like a skiing scenario where you would have a layer and then a layer and a layer.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I came here, you know, Minneapolis is colder than New York, but I brought just a barber, you know, wax cotton jacket, you know, fairly light jacket. But then I brought my Nanopuff vest and I've doubled them up and it makes for a good, easy thing to walk 15, 20 minutes in the city. So, yeah, good one.
Perfect.
My last kind of affordable one is a poster or a framed print from Ad Patina. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Ad Patina on the show before. Ad Patina is a guy who has a website. He's also on Instagram, at Ad Patina. But he has sourced all of these old watch, and he's kind of getting into camera ads now, from old magazines. You know, you get these old Rolex ads, Audemars Piguet ads, Omega ads, etc. From kind of that golden era of print advertising.
Absolutely.
And great old, if you're a collector of, you have a cool old vintage watch and you want to get like kind of an ad that represents how it was sold back in 1972 or something, you know. He sells them. You can get them framed or unframed from, you know, $40 on up to over 100. If you want it nicely framed, he'll do that for you and send it to you in a nice padded shipping box.
For sure.
Just a nice gift for a watch lover. If someone, you know, has an old Speedmaster or something and you want to get one of their old ads showing an astronaut or something. They're just cool. I've bought a couple of from him. I bought a really cool Bulova Oceanographer one from him. And then I've got an old Red Submariner 1680 ad from that kind of golden age of Rolex advertising, and I've got them hanging in my office.
He was kind enough to send me one for the Explorer 2 that I have that has Ad Vister
kind
of walking along like heavily seracked ridge, and they're great. I think they make such a really, really cool gift, and the fun thing is if you're happening to listen to this and you're buying for somebody else, none of them aren't cool.
Yeah,
like it's nice to maybe have the one for your watch.
Yeah.
But like if you know the person roughly has a few interests, like whether it's one of those ones where it's like if you were flying Concorde today, you'd be wearing.
Oh yeah, right.
And then it's a GMT Master, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just fun.
And
I love that like he's doing the legwork. He's finding them. You can just find out what he has and buy it. It's cool.
Yeah, I'd love to know kind of his business model if he's out scouring, you know, old bookstores for old magazines and like
maybe
But the ones I've gotten are crisp and like
absolutely,
they're not all
crinkled
up or faded or torn. So yeah, he's doing a great job. So
very cool. Great pick. So my last one before we get to the kind of no budget, higher budget sort of scenario for our final pick. My last one is actually a pair of earphones. I now own two because they have like a proprietary little charger, but it's the Jaybird X3. So I mean, everybody kind of has their own, like I don't listen to a ton of music when I'm not at home.
Yeah.
It's podcasts.
Yeah.
But when I travel, I don't like having wires. I also find that this sounds crazy, but if I get on a plane and I don't have headphones that plug into the system, I work.
Oh, yeah.
If I have headphones, I'll watch a movie.
Oh, interesting.
So these are Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
They're about $100. They're about $120 Canadian. I absolutely adore them. They have only one Achilles heel, and it's that they're so small and compact. To charge them, there's not a plug.
Oh.
You have to clip them into this tiny cradle.
I see.
Literally tiny. It's the size of a piece of gum.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I forget that at home,
then
I don't. It's not like I can just plug it in with a normal USB micro cable.
Right.
Anyways, aside from that, it's 10 hours of battery life. I actually get 10. They have a companion app that allows you to go, I can put the, and it changes universally for the phone, but I can put the phone in a less aggressive audio, it's like less taxing, so the brights are padded way down.
Oh, sure.
And if I'm going to listen to 10 hours of podcast or something like that, it's a little bit more.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but I've seen this in car stereos as well, where there'll be like extended listening mode,
yeah,
and it just pulls some of the brightness out of it.
Huh, interesting.
So it's not good if you want to show off your stereo to somebody,
yeah,
but it's way more comfortable after a few hours.
Huh.
Especially if you might be falling asleep and waking up.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more
right,
muted. But
yeah,
the I absolutely love these. I have two pairs, so if I'm on a really long flight or if I have a you know, very long days, I can have one charging while I use the other.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend them, as long as you're okay with an in-ear solution, which I like to run, so I have them when I run.
Yeah.
You can use them when you work out. I can they stick too far out of my ear for me to lay down, like against a pillow.
Yeah.
That's pretty small earbuds to be able to keep in on a pillow.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's fine.
They're two separate pieces. They aren't connected.
They have a connection through the wire.
Oh, they do. So it goes behind the head? Or?
Yeah. Well, you can pick. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. But yeah, it goes behind your head.
And they stay in your ear if you run.
Oh, no question.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
because
that's always been my problem.
They're really comfortable. I actually think the audio quality is really, really high for what they are.
Yeah.
But like, if you're talking about like actual headphones that are designed for music, they're not comparable.
Sure. But I'm always struggling to find good Bluetooth in-ear earbuds for, like, I wear them like Nordic skiing in the winter, and
absolutely,
like, they're always falling out, the ones I get, or
ones will stay in. I would almost guarantee it. And then the other thing I like about them is I don't like the ones where it's two separate pieces. I haven't gotten on board with that.
Yeah,
it seems like that's for making calls or like being like fine in the city, but like these, they're light enough that I can put one in my ear and take a call. They don't like weigh themselves down.
Sure.
And
yeah,
then because there is an antenna in the reception's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can, like, I don't know how much you use Bluetooth, but like, it's weird. You'll like bend down to get your bag.
Yep.
And they disconnect because there's too much water in your body between the signal and the phone. And
yeah,
and yeah, I love them. They're great. Jaybird X3s. Jaybird makes a bunch. I don't know why you'd buy anything other than the X3 because they'll stay in no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
They sound pretty good. They have the app. And I also like that, at least, I don't know if they do this on iPhone, but in Android, they show you the battery life in your in the menu bar at the top of your phone.
Oh, nice.
So like, mine are connected now and I can see it. I've got 50% or whatever.
Yeah. Huh. Cool. Well, I'm going to launch into my budget buster, which is the over $100 category. And coincidentally, I'm following up yours with also a headphone recommendation. And these are the Bose Quiet Comfort 35s. I think they're up to a Mark II version.
Yeah, which has Google Assistant built in, which is pretty cool.
So I've got the first generation of these, and you know, if there are a few things in life that you think are some of the best investments you've made, and given the amount of travel that I've done in the past couple of years, I would say this is up there with a good puffy jacket or a good shoulder bag or suitcase.
I should stop putting off buying a pair.
I
keep fighting it.
I absolutely recommend these. I love these. My wife has them. I gave a set to my dad, and I got him the non noise canceling version. But they're just absolutely fantastic, and sound quality is great. I'm not a connoisseur of hi-fi or, you know, audio quality products, but to my ear, they're fantastic for everything from, you know, podcasts to music or whatever. They come in, they're a little bit bulky, I guess, if I had to say, but I've gotten so used to it, and you can clip it to the outside of the bag if you're traveling.
Because
so
they're in like an EVA sort of case, right?
Yeah. They zip, they lay flat. They come with a cable for connecting to the airplane. Or if you just want to plug it into your phone, if the internal battery goes dead for whatever reason, because they never go dead, they last for, you know, so flying from Minneapolis to Sri Lanka is 25 hours of travel in the plane. And I think I fully charged it before I left on this last trip. It was down to 30% when I landed. So it lasts forever. The battery life lasts forever. And if it does wear out for whatever reason, you forget to charge it, which is just a simple little USB charging cable, it will still work. It'll still play music through the cable without noise canceling. It comes with a little adapter for those odd airplane systems that have like the little two-prong thing.
Three triangle thing.
Yeah, so it comes with a little adapter for that. I think between, you know, battery life and the noise canceling and just the comfort, my only quibble is I'm not religious about shaving all the time, so I have a little, you know, stubble on my neck or on my cheeks or whatever, and if you kind of wear them down around your neck, like when you're talking to somebody on the plane or walking around the airport or whatever, the foam, the kind of the coating on the foam is starting to kind of scrape off a little bit, and I end up with like little black flecks on my on my face. But this is only a very recent thing, so maybe it's just because I've worn them for so long.
If like you go on Etsy and get like a little cover or something.
Oh yeah,
looks yeah. like Christmas socks.
Or oh something. Yeah, right.
Some of you see stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
And but, usually those pads are fully on a boat, they'd be fully replaceable.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah,
to,
that's true. Know. Yeah. So I absolutely adore these. They're the $349 or $350. Yeah,
$450 Canadian. I'm just pulling them up again.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how many times I've looked at these things.
I can't recommend them enough. You know, these aren't some exotic product. I mean, you see half the people walking through airports
on a plane,
wearing these.
Yeah, you see them constantly. Yeah,
but there's a reason. They're great, and I swear by them. So
great choice.
Yeah.
Mine is also for travel. This is my blow the budget selection as well, and it is the Away suitcase.
Oh yeah.
So I'm basically going through my normal travel kit now. The stuff that like if I'm leaving, I would take it with me.
Yeah, and you've got your tote, you've got your puffy, and
got the tote, the
roller
puffy.
Bag,
yeah. And I mean, it was really between the Red Wings, the Iron Rangers. We talked about this for a little bit, and the Away. And I think a lot of people listening probably are like already know a Red Wing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great poop. Yeah. So I'm going with the Away suitcase. I have the carry-on. Like, for the money that they're charging, it is so good. And I've now fully figured out how to, like, really effectively... I'm in New York for, like, 15, 16 days, and I'm living... Yeah. This is all I have. I'll have to do laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, like, I have a ton of clothes in there.
Yeah.
I can get my Fall Raven bag in there. And... Yeah. It has, you have the battery pack, which I use all the time. I did not think that was an added bonus. I keep it charged.
Huh.
It's in, I keep two of those battery, like 10,000 milliamp hour chargers just available for my phone.
Yeah.
Because that gives me almost 4 days, 5 days on the phone without power if that's how it went down. But the one that pops into the bag is really handy. The interior arrangement is really good, and it's also flexible if you don't want the compression panel. It just unclips and comes out entirely.
Yeah.
The built-in dirty laundry bag is super handy for not having like random socks and underwear around your hotel room, or like what I used to do was I'd have a dirty corner
where
the dirty clothes would go, and then when I was ready to repack, I would pack it up.
Yeah.
Now it's in a nice little bag.
Yeah.
That bag can also be used to hold a wet bathing suit and keep everything else in your kit dry.
Nice.
The compression panel in the center, the zipper goes wide enough that if you want, you can put a laptop in it.
Huh.
So if you don't want to have your laptop in your main bag and you want to clean up a hotel room so that somebody coming in, you can put it in there and then put the bag to the side, and it just looks like where you'd keep your clothes, which is super handy. I love the ability to not have my laptop have to be on my person all the time. They weigh 5-6 pounds.
Yeah, right.
The Away carry-on, they make 4 or 5 sizes now, and they have like 20-plus colors. Absolutely worth $225, zero question. I would if it broke, they have a great warranty, so if it broke, I would get it fixed.
Yeah.
But like if it broke in a way where I wasn't going to have it for a little while, I would buy a second, just to have and I'd cycle it once it was repaired.
Yeah.
They do a really nice job. Yeah. I really love the interior. Like once you learn how to pack a clamshell versus just a normal top, you know, soft side,
right.
It holds a ton of stuff. It looks really nice. Like, you know, I got a TGN sticker on and a Hodinkee sticker.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've used a Tumi Tegralite for years that I got as a gift years ago, and
double the price, maybe more.
I have no reason to replace it, but I think it's a it's kind of a similar size. Obviously, I mean, we're talking maximum legal carry on size. If I were to replace it, I would definitely look at Away, and I think I'm interested to know that you use the charging block, because that was at least initially their kind of big selling point, one of those quote unquote smart bags. But I didn't realize it had all those other features, the internal stuff, which is kind of makes a difference. And just a note too, I mean, we met Mark from Away, I think when we were out here in March, and he was at H10.
So I like Mark and it's cool. I like what they're doing. I like the people who run the company.
Yeah. And the price, I didn't realize they were that inexpensive.
Well, I mean, like a Ramoa carry-on would be $1,000.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think the plus you would get maybe with a Ramoa is if you broke it while you were traveling, you could probably walk into the Ramoa store at the Munich airport and they put a new wheel on it right there.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's probably what they would do.
Right.
It's going to be a little bit different with Away, but they're putting up more stores.
Yeah.
And, they shipped it to me in a couple of days, so how bad could it be, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
good
product.
Cool.
We actually have one more that we wanted to do kind of as a team one, because it was, you know, partly produced by somebody pretty close to us, is Stephen Pulverin's book, The Watch, Thoroughly Revised. He helped write the second edition of this fairly classic and it's a considerable thing. It's a really fair price that you can actually buy a signed copy on the Hodinkee shop if you want. So I wanted to at least make mention of it because we, Jason and I both now have seen it and have a copy. And I really, really like it. And it's something that I think it's kind of a perfect gift. I mean, if you like watches, you're going to like this book and you're going to learn something too.
Yeah, it's very sleek and it's... You know, again, we're both friends of Steven and like the guy, and that's not really the only reason we're even mentioning this.
Fully biased choice, but it's also a really good book.
I mean, let's face it, you know, as watch nerds, as most of us are that are listening, there's a pretty limited selection of books, you know. I mean, it's kind of rare to find good watch books, and when one comes along, it's nice to add it to the collection. So, that's a good one.
So, that's the watch thoroughly revised Gene Stone, Stephen Pulverin.
Yeah, good one.
A winner. Cool. So I think all of those things present a solid, 10, 11 item list would be pretty solid. You could find one or two things on there for just about anyone that likes the show. And I think that's the easiest way to go.
Yeah, and hopefully with this episode going live here a couple of weeks before Christmas, at least, it gives people some opportunity to get some last minute shopping or at least requesting
for
that. So,
well, you want to dip into a quick final note? I mean, this whole episode's kind of been final notes. So,
I have one. It is one of our TGN heroes, Conrad Anker. He was actually relaunched his website recently, which is I found this. And there was a link on it to he recently took part in Desert Island Discs, which is something I've mentioned on Final Notes a long time ago. BBC radio show.
Mike Pearson favorite.
Goes back to, I think the 1940s or 50s.
For sure.
And, everyone from, I've listened to Edmund Hillary to, Ranulph Fiennes.
The Ranulph Fiennes one was great.
Wilfred Thesiger and all these great explorers and just, musicians and politicians, et cetera, have been on the show. Talking about if they were stranded on a desert island, what music would they bring? And in the old days, it was records and CDs and... Now it's just songs. And Conrad Anker was on. And I just enjoy listening to him. He's really an articulate, interesting, thoughtful guy. And between the music recommendations, which are fun, the interviewer always kind of asks these kind of very probing questions about the people's lives. And Conrad has arguably led one of the more interesting lives. I mean, given his background, he's the one that found George Mallory's body on Everest. And he talks at great length about that during this interview. His best friend Alex Lowe died in an avalanche, and then he ended up marrying Alex's wife and adopted his two kids, and they kind of delve into that a little bit. Meru, of course, the great movie that we've talked about.
The yet-to-be-announced project that they did at Olvatana, the Wolf's Fang in South in Antarctica.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out what that is, but they climbed it, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good one, and his song choices are really interesting. He's got some Rolling Stones and some Pearl Jam, and even I think there's a Handel or Mozart in there. And so he's a really thoughtful, interesting, well-spoken guy. So Conrad Anker, Desert Island Discs from the BBC, and we'll put that link in the show notes.
Absolutely, and mine kind of goes right in line with that. Obviously, it's not really final notes if we don't do an outside online like something from Outside Magazine. Just an absolute standard of kind of our internet reading. And this is a post, it's actually a really simple one that ties in really well with the topic today, but it's what an award-winning travel writer keeps in his pack. And it's this guy, Chris Solomon, travels all over the world, and he just kind of lists a few things that he really likes to have with him. And after what we've talked about for the last, hour or so, I thought it fit in pretty well. It's a really interesting piece, everything from that Starbucks Via, which is like a pretty solid camp coffee. It works pretty well too. Like a lightweight Patagonia jacket. He's got a Suunto watch. If you have to be all over the world, I can see going that route, especially if you don't want something mechanical. He's got a notebook recommendation in there, a water bottle recommendation, which is always a good one. Favorite sunglasses, some shirts, a bag. He's got an option here called a My Map app, which I guess allows you to have a map without
having a connection.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of places that I travel are probably more luxurious than where he travels, so I just have a normal cell phone connection.
Right.
But if you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no connection, or if you're not going to pay whatever they're charging in a third world country for an active GPRS connection, then something like the ability to download maps makes perfect sense. I remember trying to do that several years ago, I think before that was a thing.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. But now you can do vast pieces of Google Maps.
Yeah.
You can set as offline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is clever. And then finally, something that we chatted about, he recommends a VPN service. And I don't know if I've ever recommended one on TGN. I feel like we might have talked about it in the past. If you use your phone or your computer on public-ish Wi-Fi, Starbucks or airport Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi in the lounge, you should really be using a VPN of some sorts, a virtual private network. And that just makes sure that from your device to a server that isn't the same server that's providing that direct connection,
yeah,
that hub,
yeah,
it's private. It's encrypted. I use one called Pia, which is very long-standing and super popular, but there's tons of them. I think I pay $30 a year for Pia. I use it all the time. If I'm at an Airbnb and I turn on my Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. I turn on Pia with it.
Yeah,
it's just easy. I can also, if I want to make sure that I get a U.S. price on a car or a watch,
yeah,
I can put the Pia into a U.S. server and then reload a website and actually get .com, not .ca.
Oh, sure.
All those sorts of things where they're now even sub-hiding it, so you can't tell you have to go in and actually change the currency. Like, it fixes all that kind of thing.
I think in his article, he even mentions that with that VPN, like, if you set it for Switzerland or something, you can watch... you can watch downhill skiing, you know,
absolutely,
on the internet.
Yeah, I mean,
like, stream sports things that you can't
Netflix,
stream,
yeah. That used to be a really... That's why a lot of people know what VPNs are, because you used to be able to get U.S. Netflix if you weren't in U.S. But now, not only is Netflix very similar all over the world in terms of what they have, Netflix has wised up to the VPN thing. Netflix doesn't seem to care that everybody's sharing their password with everybody else, but they do seem to care about the VPN thing. And my guess is the content providers get really upset if they're not getting licensing for all the areas. But I know that with things like sports and stuff, they're not always checking for VPN connections from known VPN servers, so maybe you can watch some downhill skiing catch a game that you wouldn't otherwise get.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I think, you know, that's a great final note article, but I just think the VPN is a great final note in itself, or even a gift idea.
Absolutely.
Tagging on. So.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of puts a wrap on it. I think it was a good holiday episode. It was great to see you. Good to record in person.
So much fun.
And we're going to head back over to
H10.
The event for the final day.
Catch a last few of the panels. And a big thank you to everyone who came to the drinks thing yesterday.
Definitely.
And we're going to endeavor to do that whenever we can. It wasn't that much of a lift. I mean, Chelsea at Hodinkee actually set up the space and kind of interface with it. So we didn't really even do that.
I know. We just showed up and had a couple beers.
Showed up, had a few drinks, and got to say hi to some really great people. So thank you for coming out, and to everyone who came to H10 and said hi and, you know, expressed love for the show. I don't really know what to say other than thank you. It's very touching.
Yeah, it was great. Really good to meet people. So,
all right.
And for this week, as always, thanks so much for listening, and a big thanks to Hodinkee for supporting the show. Hit the show notes via hodinkee.com or the feed for more details. You can follow us on Instagram at Jason Heaton and at J.E. Stacy, and be sure to follow the show at The Greynado. If you have any questions for us, please, as always, write to thegreynado@gmail.com, and please subscribe and review wherever you find your podcasts. Music throughout is Siesta by Jazzar via the Free Music Archive.
And we leave you with this quote from Robert Louis Stevenson, who said, "For my part, I travel not to go anywhere, but to go. I travel for travel's sake. The great affair is to move."